Welcome to Beyond the Current Situation with me, your host, Lily Sanders. I am honored to have you with us today. We have an amazing guest with a powerful story. You do not want to miss this insightful conversation. Don't go away. We are beginning right now.
Hi, guys. Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Current Situation. As many of you know, I am a huge contributor of health and wellness as an author and as a life coach. And I believe that when we have a healthy body, a clear mind, and a peaceful heart, that we really, really can overcome any life situation and thrive no matter what. And which is why I'm really excited to bring to you today my next guests, which I will bring them all in: John Albrecht, Nick Rossini, and Ashley Heather, who are all the creators and partners in a food company, which essentially is a wholesome meal market plan with this gourmet twist. But I'm going to have them explain exactly what it is. And they're also unique, and they all bring different things to the table. So I will bring them into our conversation one at a time so that you can really absorb their stories and their personal insights that each guest has to offer. So my first guest I'm happy to bring in is Ashley John Heather. Ashley John Heather is a serial entrepreneur in marketing, health, and technology. And Ashley moved from New York City out into the Hamptons, which is in the eastern end of Long Island, with his family. And he founded The Spur, which is a co-working space and innovation hub with locations across the east end of Long Island, New York. And being a fan of the Whole30 nutrition program, he created Honest Plate with Chef John and Chef Nick. So the reason behind this was really to make healthy eating easier and absolutely more affordable for the community. So I'm going to unmute my first guest and welcome Ashley. Welcome to Beyond the Current Situation.
Thanks. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. Lily, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having us on this morning.
Absolutely. And are you on the West Coast?
Right now, I am in Salt Lake City, Utah. Yes. So kind of almost the West Coast.
Lovely. So just so you all know, I have a global following. So that's why when I say instead of the East End, I'm being very specific, East End, Long Island, New York, so that everyone can really get a feel and a sense of where we're coming from. I'm going to ask you, Ashley, I'm just going to kind of put it out there. What was your personal why in creating Honest Plate?
Sure. Well, it's a great question. I have to go a few years back, about 6 or 7 years ago. My wife, who's much like yourself, kind of enlightened in the concept of wellness and kind of, you know, wholesomeness and so forth, she had come across Whole30, which is a specific eating program, and had kind of persuaded me to do that with her for a January. And again, I want to say 6 or 7 years ago. And the idea of Whole30 is for 30 days, eat whole foods only. And you're really cutting out many of the sort of things that can be toxic to the body, things like sugar, which includes alcohol, grains, so kind of pasta and rice. And it sounds horrible, but actually it's really great. The first couple of weeks are pretty tough, but then the final 2 weeks you develop what they call tiger blood, which is essentially just a feeling. You don't need as much sleep. You wake up incredibly refreshed. You know, you're not having as much anxiety and stress generally. And so there's definitely a commitment to get there. And I think the biggest commitment is actually preparing meals and not being able to grab stuff on the go. And we're all busy people, you know, racing out the door, going to work, picking up kids, whatever we're doing. And the ability to avoid grabbing stuff is very difficult. So Whole30 basically teaches you how to do kind of meal prep in bulk, maybe on a Sunday before the week. You do a lot of prep work, and you prepare stuff, put it in the fridge, and then you've got your food for the week. So you're not grabbing stuff out of, you know, kind of package containers. That's sort of Whole30. So that's where the whole thing came from.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry to interrupt. I wanted to interject because a lot of our listeners across the world could really relate. They're, you know, as working parents, right? You have these time constraints and you've got, you know, children to come home and feed after, you know, everyone running in different directions with two people in the household that are out working and you're coming home with children. And I think I've read, I think you have a few children or
three.
Three. So three children. What is that like when children have different eating preferences?
Yeah, so let me just, I just got to kind of recap and get to how the 6 years led to the Honest Plate, and then I'll definitely jump into the kid question. So anyway, that was 6 years ago. We did Honest, we did Whole 30 for 6 years. Every January, it was our year reset. and then a year ago, so 2020 January was coming up, we were about to start our Whole 30 again. I had started the Spur, the co-working space that you had mentioned. I also had some other things I was involved in. I was super busy. We've got three young kids, as you mentioned. You know, my wife was working, so we didn't have a lot of time, but we wanted to be committed to this process of Whole 30. It'd been really good to our bodies and our minds and everything previous years. And at the same time, I was lucky enough to be in connection with Chef John and Nick, who were at the time sort of Honest Chefs. That was their brand, and they were sort of doing catering and some great meal prep. They've got a great history in the restaurant business that they'll share with you when they can talk. And it was kind of like that light bulb 1+1=3 moment. It was late December. I was thinking about how I'm going to do all this meal prep, and I've got Whole 30 coming up, and I'm just so busy. And then I just sat down with different John and said, guys, this, you know, you're doing what you're doing. I've got this kind of background and idea and vision. And I mean, I think it took 2 hours. It was just like magic. It was like everybody was on the same page. They were like, boom, let's make this happen. So I think we started a week later. Like literally we were serving meals to customers within a week from the concept. Obviously you've got to work on branding, and I can talk about that separately, but I know you asked a specific question about kids, and they were certainly part of the driver. I have three kids. They're all kind of different and interesting. Like many families, kids are never the same. So my oldest daughter, who's 12 now, so was kind of 10 at the time. She's been a vegetarian since the age of 5 by self-selection. And so she doesn't touch meat. She's going to be a vet one day, probably. She loves horses and animals, and that's her life. And so for her, she always needed to kind of eat that way. Then I have another daughter who's a couple of years younger. And she was kind of, eat pretty much a little bit of everything. And then I have a son who's a few years younger than that, who would eat nothing, right? So I have my three kids, and then I have my wife's taste. Let's call it sort of a, pescatarian-ish. So kind of healthy eating, clean-ish. I'm that, I'm a Brit. I'm pretty relaxed. I like to eat healthy, but it's not, it was never really that every day. I kind of, everything in moderation was always my approach. So we've got five different types of eating: everything in moderation, pescatarian, vegetarian, picky, and then whatever, right? And so when creating a meal, it's stressful, whether it's the mother or the father or the parent or the caregiver, whoever is creating that meal for that family unit. It can be incredibly stressful to create one dish or one meal that everybody can enjoy, get around the table. We're in this iPad generation where nobody sits together anymore. People are grabbing 5 minutes here and there. And sort of part of Honest Plate was trying to bring people back to the dinner table again and take the stress out of the preparation, combine it with healthy and green and eco, which we'll come to later with the glass containers, but essentially giving a reason. So, the prep time is 15 minutes instead of 45 minutes or an hour. It's stress-free. You can prepare a meal that's different for each person around the table because of the way we create it. So this mix and match format, you can have a main dish which covers everybody's requirements, and then you can surround it by sides that give everybody a little bit more of the flavor profile or ingredients that they're looking for. So everyone feels like they're sharing the same meal, but they're all getting kind of what they need out of it. And that was all part of this original concept that Nick, John, and I kind of brainstormed. And my wife, Diana, I don't want to leave her out. She was a big piece of the inspiration behind this and, heavily involved in kind of understanding the ingredients and what we should be doing. So I know that was a long explanation. I apologize for the length of it, but
it
there's some great detail there, and it really sets the scene for kind of who we are and what we are and what we're trying to do.
I love that. That's actually why I asked that question, because we all have children. Mine's 23 now, but it's a task it's stressful when you have those, when you're a working parent or not. Even if, if you're working even in the home, but you have many different preferences and many different, like you said, there's one that's picky, there's one that's a vegetarian, there's one that's pescatarian, yet you can all kind of enjoy that meal and feel like you're having the same meal. I love it. I love the whole concept of Honest Plate. And as you mentioned, it really just was born in January of 2020, right? And so here you are, you're out on eastern end of Long Island. It's like farm country, and you've got, the North Shore and the South Shore, and it's peaceful. And
sometimes peaceful.
You don't have
three kids, but yeah.
Well, anyway. I get it. And you launched this amazing new concept, this food company, and all of a sudden the coronavirus, and suddenly the entire globe is in lockdown. Now what? How did you overcome the sudden life situation with such a young business?
Yeah, great question. So we've been operating, whatever it was, like 3 months, maybe 4 months. And it was also winter time. So for anybody who knows the Eastern Long Island and the Hamptons, as sometimes areas are called, it's generally a summer destination. We wanted to launch in the winter because we really wanted to appeal to the local, what's called the local all year round families who were there all year round and would support our business all year round. And we wanted to start there. And so that was a great thing. And also because of Whole30, often people do it in January, it's a reset. So it all worked out great. So we started, we had instant customers, 20 or 30 clients off the bat, super excited, things were growing nicely. And then obviously coronavirus came and lockdown started. And we thought, wow, this is going to be awesome for us because now, you know, people can't go to restaurants and, you know, they want to be healthy and they're at home and so forth. So we thought we were going to just instantly hit this amazing hockey stick as a business. Maybe a little bit naive or premature. And what turned out to happen was kind of, I guess, three different things. The first thing was that everybody rushed to the grocery store because it was the only place open. So A, it was a kind of a respite to leaving the house. You could only go to the grocery store. And so everybody rushed there. They bought $600 worth of groceries, you know, enough food for whatever. And suddenly they had time on their hands because they were not working or they weren't spending as much time commuting. So this time resource that we were trying to solve, this precious resource suddenly was created in everybody's lives. They had hours of extra time. They couldn't go anywhere. The only place they could go was the grocery store. And of course, the kitchen is the heart of most people's homes. So people started to cook again. And so for us, it was like, oh, gosh, damn it. It's, you know, we thought it was going to be this rocket ship. Now, of course, you know, the business continued and it was no problem. So that was the first thing that happened. The second thing that happened was restaurants quickly pivoted to takeout. And so most restaurants, again, on the East End were focused on dining in, and that's where the money was and that's what they were doing. But of course they were shut and they had, you know, fixed costs and rent and et cetera. And so the only thing they could do is use those kitchens to produce food. So now we had even more competition propping up from those places. And because consumers had an existing relationship with their local restaurants, they felt that they should support those restaurants to buy that food from them because they want to support the restaurant, which makes total sense. We're, of course, a new brand. We had 20 or 30 customers. Nobody knew who we were. We didn't have any loyal customers. And so, again, that was another headwind that we had to deal with to try and sort of figure that out.
And how did you?
Well, we stuck to the knitting in the sense of, you know, we knew the value proposition for the business, which is healthy meals, delicious, most importantly, and that's what the chefs do so well, is making healthy delicious, because often it's not, convenient, eco-friendly. And what we did immediately because of the pandemic was we decided to basically help, as many people were trying to do back then in sort of March, April, May, in the worst of it in New York. So we did a lot of volunteering. We did a lot of donations. We had already kind of aligned ourselves with a local cancer charity that had nothing to do with, you know, the pandemic, but essentially, you know, buy 10 meals, get one donated to somebody who's got, you know, who's sort of end of life or in the sort of stages of cancer, which is obviously a horrible time of life. And so we'd already been doing that. So we amped up that and sort of doubled down. And then also Stony Brook Hospital, which is a local hospital, we provided hundreds, I want to say even thousands of meals over the course of sort of a month or two for free directly to the hospital to be able to kind of donate. So, you know, that was our giving back. It was always part of the brand, was to be part of the community and give back as best we could. And that gave us an opportunity to do that. So that helped get the word out a little bit.
Absolutely. In my view, like a social-minded business and that whole model is really what connects and glues us as a global community. Not even just your local community, right? And so when we can do it things locally, one by one, really it kind of connects all of us around the globe. And I firmly believe that the world has become much more compassionate, much more giving, much more than mainstream media will admit and let in on, right? But that's a whole nother topic. because I really do believe that we have come to a time where it's an amazing time of growth and self-growth, and people are educated and people want to be healthy. For the most part, people know more about their options on how they can maintain or even begin a healthy lifestyle, starting from the body, starting from the heart, starting from the mind. I always talk about that mind, heart, body connection. So I was going to ask you how Honest Place gives back to the community. And, you know, you've just kind of put it right out there. I love that, you know, social-minded business model. And there's another thing that I'm really huge on is sustainability. Huge fan. I try my best within my life, even with my businesses. And sustainability is really what will give Mother Earth a longer lifeline, so to speak. You know, should we all accept that responsibility and actually take the action? And I feel like you guys take that action as well through with your business. And I read about your zero waste philosophy. So what is that? And how do you apply it to the Honest Plate model?
Sure. And that piece of the model came from, again, a few inputs in life. And I think everybody's on a journey, and the aha moment doesn't necessarily come a week after. It's sort of things, a whole series of things come together. And so what happened for us is that earlier in 2019, because of our busy schedules, we were trying some of the other meal services that are out there. There are many meal prep services, whether they be here's all the ingredients and cook yourself, or, you know, a few more now are kind of like, here's the whole thing that's already been done. And I love to cook. I'm kind of an amateur chef. I'm passionate about food and done lots of cooking classes, and I'm kind of more the chef at home. And so I'd use some of these services. And I was frankly disgusted by the amount of plastic that was in the experience. So you know, it'd be a meal for four, and you might have 15 or 20 pieces of plastic in that meal for four, whether it's, every little thing is wrapped in something, comes in a plastic container or a plastic box or cling film wrapped, or, you know. So we did all this stuff, and we did it out of convenience, right? We needed it. We needed that kind of easy, fast, whatever. And so after a while, it stuck in sort of the back of my head, and was kind of that thing that came alive with Honest Plate. When we had that first discussion with Nick and John, I was like, look, we've got to cut down on the plastic. How can we create something that is kind of sustainable? And then the second thing for me, again, being a Brit, we have this thing called a milkman.
I spent a good part of 10 years in England.
And so the concept of the milkman is, you know, you have this guy in his van, chilled milk and the glass bottles. And every morning, you know, he drops off your two semi-skimmed and your one full, you know, whatever. And you pick it up, and then you put back in this crate the bottles from yesterday that have gone through the dishwasher, and you put the bottles back. And then, you know, it's sustainable, right? It's been going like that for 50, 60 years, whatever it's been. And so that was also kind of part of in the mindset. So that's kind of the physical part of our product, which is that there's no plastic. It's all glass containers. And we use a combination of mason jars, which put food in mason jars. They look beautiful. I saw you drinking water, I think, just out of a mason jar right there. But, you know, sort of layering food in different ways in the mason jar.
I'm totally sustainable.
There I have go. Mason. Perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the food would come in glass containers, smaller or bigger, depending on kind of the meal size and so forth. And then our clients could essentially come and pick up a bag of all their food or get dropped off delivered. They would run them through the dishwasher, bring them back. We would obviously, you know, sanitize them again at the kitchen to make sure they're fully sanitized. And then we reuse them. So it helps us bring down our packaging cost. It's an investment. Unfortunately, you know, those cost more. And so there's definitely a little bit of an upfront investment, but I think it pays off over time. And so that's the packaging part, right? And that's a big piece of zero waste packaging and removing packaging. And I think our consumers love that. They like to be part of that experience. It makes them feel good. There's a benefit. But then there's a second piece to it that I'm not going to steal the limelight on. I'm going to let the chefs kind of answer as you get into them, which is more about the zero waste on the food side itself. And so again, I don't want to steal their thunder, but the packaging side, I would say, was kind of my piece of it. And then obviously working with Nick and John, they came up with their sort of additions to this kind of zero waste, and they can address that, you know, when you get to them. So thanks for asking.
No, of course. And that is big, and including the food as well. Me too. I am the amateur chef at home. I love to cook. I love to cook healthy food that tastes delicious, and which is really what I really loved about the entire concept of honest plate. Also, I remember learning years ago when I was younger, about the wasting of food, right? Like even like when you take every single thing, I'm looking forward to talking to chefs about that. You know, every little thing when you're making, you know, a broth, you're not cutting everything and throwing it away, but you're putting a lot of these things into like your broth and whatnot. So I'm excited to hear about that from the chefs. I'm going to bring on Chef John, but before I do, just a question, Ashley, to you. Did the pandemic change the way you felt about your contribution to the world, personally, professionally?
Did it change? I mean, I think the vision holds true in a pandemic or a non-pandemic. I think the thought that we can help as many people as possible and making the price point, we didn't really talk about price point, but part of this is there were some luxury services somewhat similar to ours, maybe without the glass containers, that were catering to that very personalized meals and get what you want and we'll do it all for you and bring it to your house. And so, you know, that's existed for some time, but the price point was so elevated, it was very difficult for the everyday person to get access to that product. And so as part of that, the Honest Plate vision, we were trying to be essentially the same price as groceries, right? So if you go to the grocery store and you spend $200 on your week's meals for yourself and your husband or family, whatever, or $400 or $600, whatever it is, depending on the size, you should be able to get clean, healthy, delicious, fully prepared, heat and eat style meals where you open your fridge, it's beautiful glass containers, and you pick and mix and match what you want for either the same price or less than what you're spending at the grocery store. So you save time, you're saving your body, you're saving the planet. You know, it has all these intrinsic benefits, but you don't have to spend $1,000 a month to be able to do it, which for obviously most people is not affordable. And so I think during the pandemic, when many people lost incomes and, you know, were struggling in that sense, the fact that we had this affordable product that could really help them, you know, was a great thing. I think, unfortunately, as you know, probably as a wellness coach, that in an area of stress or a time of stress, which the pandemic has been extremely stressful for many people, you tend to eat worse because the sugar in food gives you, you know, kind of endorphins and kind of gets you going and gets you through things. And it's very addictive. And so people kind of cringe and crave and go through that experience. So I think what's been great for me is to know that we're putting this product out that's affordable, that is sort of reversing that trend and giving people access to healthy food to try and, you know, reduce the COVID 10 pounds or 20 pounds or 30 pounds. That
yes, it's so funny you said that because I had, yeah, absolutely 100%. I had on a few times my dear friend, virtual friend, Eric Edmeads from Wild Fit, and he had talked about doing the COVID 15. It's like,
my wife is doing
15 pounds that we all put on.
My wife is doing Wild Fit right now. She's on. Oh. She's got two weeks to go. She's done the 12-week program and
wonderful. So she would really love to head over to the episodes on this podcast. He's been on quite a few times. He's very dear to me, and we align with the nutritional and mental, physical, and emotional. And we have had some really crazy discussions. She would just enjoy that, and good for her. I'm happy to hear that. So I'm going to bring in some of those amazing chefs from Honest Plate. My next guest will be Chef John Albrecht. And please, guys, if I don't pronounce your name correctly, let me know. And so John, Chef John, his cooking career started over 30 years ago, also in the Hamptons. And he has extensive experience in all areas of cooking, along with his obsession with healthy and local produce, which I love. Mm-hmm. And that really made him a perfect ingredient in the Honest Plate team. So welcome, John.
Hello, how are you, everybody, today?
Great. It's great to have you here. Let me ask you a question. Did you grow up cooking in the kitchen?
I'm of Italian heritage, so I grew up with my Nona and my pop-up creating food and cooking since I've been a little boy. And then my mom, of course, is actually an excellent chef. She never admits it, but she's fantastic. And it really just came from there. When I was very, very, very young, my parents even owned a restaurant. So you can honestly say I've been in the business pretty much my whole life.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And so were you always a healthy eater?
No. No, I wasn't as a child, of course. Well, Italian Mediterranean food is very healthy for you, but like any kid, I ate candy, cakes, things like that. But then as I became a little older and got into sports and taking care of myself, and then into martial arts, I started, you know, realizing what I was putting in my body and what really is craft and what really is good for you. And there's a whole link between eating healthy, not only physically, but mentally, spiritually, and what those things tie together and make sense of it, it definitely helps you to achieve a healthy lifestyle later in life.
Yes, many times, more often than none, when someone enters into the martial art world, they have the potential to tap into that mm-hmm. spiritual side of things, and suddenly, mm-hmm. you know, they stop drinking alcohol, or they stop smoking,
well.
You know, so, you know, let's not get crazy.
I do miss those days, I have to say, but, you know, I actually do not that I have any issues or anything, but I don't do any drugs or drink alcohol at all. It's a life choice you have to make. I'm almost 54 years old. I'm a grandfather, I'm a father of four, and I want to be there. I want to be there for my grandchildren and my children and watch everybody grow up. And if you don't take care of yourself, then how can you be there mentally, physically, you know? So that's a big part of it as well.
100%. So as a grandfather and a father, how do your children and grandchildren adapt to you and your wife's healthy lifestyle? Well, I'm assuming your wife is in the same lifestyle.
Oh, yeah. They're actually very good. My children, especially, they eat anything. Their dad's a chef. So it's like, okay, try this. Like, oh, that's really good. So that's a big part of it. For a large part of my career, as Nick can attest to, I was a classically French trained chef, and, you know, working with the chefs, and a lot of that diet is very unhealthy. So as I became older, I became more and more involved in vegan and vegetarian cooking, and I have a 10-year plus background just in that area alone. And you realize the benefits of eating that way, and how mm-hmm. they're substantial to maintaining a healthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And within the restaurant industry, of course, you know, being a chef, you sit, you eat within 5 minutes, you go right back to work. And a lot of it was, you know, heavy sauces, heavy dishes. And then after eating it, you want to take a nap. And that's just not healthy or productive in any way, shape, or form. So that's definitely a big reason why I'm doing what I'm doing today with Nick and Ashley.
Yeah, I love that, John. And it's always mind-boggling to me when people, I've been eating healthy, led a healthy lifestyle for many, 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 many years. I kind of self-educated myself reading this book and trying that and so on. I've seen every single, Eric and I have had this conversation. I'm 59. I have seen every single diet come and go. They come back and they're just, you know, they're tweaked, but they're just named something different, right? But the bottom line is you can really enjoy a healthy meal where it mm-hmm. tastes delicious, it's gourmet, it doesn't have to have the creams and sauces, you know, there's lots of things that you could be eating and someone might think they're eating creams and maybe it's some kind of whatever, cauliflower or beans mm-hmm. or whatever, right? So yeah. So since you are you're already in this whole role of healthy cooking and making it taste mm-hmm. amazing, how and when did Honest Plate, that whole journey begin? I know that you met John passed at Sag Harbor this weekend, by the way, that restaurant. But how did your Honest Plate journey begin for the three of you?
Well, it came about, Nick and I were doing cooking classes at the Spur through Ashley, and we were doing what was we called world gourmet classes, and it was, we were drawing different regions of the globe, and as Ashley explained earlier, it came to the holidays, and he's like, look, we want to do this whole 30 thing for myself, my wife, Diana. Okay, great. Then it was, hey, I have 10 friends who want to try it. Okay, great. I have 10 more friends who want to try it. Great. Hey, let's start a company. And organically, it just grew. It went from Nick and I preparing everything, delivering everything, doing, you know, the brunt of a lot of the work. Thank God for the great office team we had, because if not, we would have probably strangled each other. And it just came about in that fashion. Whereas it was, you know, we have to make a decision here on what we want to do. And Ashley sat down with us and said, hey, do you guys want to start this company with me? And that we're like, that's a fantastic idea, because nowadays so many people still to this day don't eat the way that they should. There's so many processed foods out there and so many things that are bad for you that you don't even realize it. And there's just so much, excuse my language, but crap within what you consume every single day. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, I love a good McDonald's cheeseburger, but that's like once a year. You know, I mean, for the most part, I follow, you know, pretty much a pescatarian based diet with my family. We have very, very, very little red meat here in my house. If we do, it'll be maybe some pork or something like that. But burgers, you know, I'll make a lentil burger, or I'll go and I'll get, you know, something and make it out of something else that tastes like, to taste like what you would expect it to taste like if it was the actual component you're using. Mm-hmm. And that was actually a big challenge for Nick and I, which was, you know, okay, well, we need a cream sauce. Well, we can't use cream. What can we use? Let's try almond milk. Okay, you know, let's make one out of cauliflower. Okay, you know, things like that. So that's what's really the most interesting part to me, and the part that really drives my passion to do this, is every day we learn something different. And I'll look at Nick and go, you think it's going to work? And he'll say, well, there's only one way to find out. And we just go forward. And if it works, great. If not, we chalk it up to experience and we try again. And that's actually a big part of being a chef, is failing. You know, people don't realize that. They think, oh, you know everything about everything. We don't know anything. You know, we know as much as you when it comes down to it. And it just comes down to common sense and what works well together and what flavor profiles you want to put within the dish you're creating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I can definitely appreciate that. It's funny because, as Ashley mentioned earlier, when I was asking him about different preferences that people have with food, you know, their likes and their dislikes, or some people are vegans because of a cause, or some people are just vegans just because that's what they prefer. Then you have the carnivores and so on and so forth. It's got to be a challenge to say, what can we prepare like this week, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
That will top last week. And funny mm-hmm. story, quick story. I was, you know, I was raised a classical dancer. I traveled. And then I went into stage theater in Manhattan. And I did a lot of off-Broadway in Manhattan. And it was always like about how can when you do the same show every single day, you know, mm-hmm. 6 days in a row, 7 days in a row, how can I wow the audience tonight mm-hmm. as I wowed sure. them last night? But it's never in the same way, because you could never replicate the same exact thing, but you mm-hmm. want to kind of top yourself. You want to, you know, you want to, same thing. You have your audience of eaters, right? And your mm-hmm. contenders, so to speak. How can I wow them? Like, what can we do this week that is just so different and exciting and special that they can't get at this? I'm doing my open quote. I'm not going to say any names of restaurants, but because, let's face it, the best food in the world can be found in Manhattan. We know that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, I lived
There's
in Manhattan.
So many varieties.
Yeah, yeah. I was in Manhattan for 6 years, came back out during the height of the pandemic. And now I'm also on Long Island. And what did I do? I started a whole little farm. I think I told you this on the phone a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And yep. I was really into doing the farming and starting to live off my little land. And truth be told, I honestly feel that we're coming to this now. Okay, yes, the pandemic is now kind of, you know, we're at the end of the coronavirus, right? The vaccinations are out and everyone's easing up. The masks eventually will come off. But is that really the end? There's always going to be another situation. I always say it really was a great aha moment for us around the globe to wake up and get your body, get your spirit, get your mind ready to face and tackle any life situation, such as the pandemic, because this won't be the last one, right? And so why not start to, you know, take responsibility for yourself, for your life, for your body, for your heart, for your children, mm-hmm. right? For your children's children, and break the mold for generational blessings and start getting healthy, right? Mm-hmm. And it starts with good cooking, good eating, finding Absolutely. You know, a place like Honest Plate. If you're not really talented in the kitchen, or you don't wish to do it, at least you can. We have now these options, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's the beauty of what Nick and I create, is everything that's packaged is ready to go. All you have to do is pop the lid and put it in the oven, and then put it on a plate.
Yeah,
the salads are prepared. Everything's ready. So,
100%. And I'm very familiar. Ashley mentioned earlier about when we were talking about the sustainability and then mm-hmm. just brought in the price point and his vision as far as that goes. And I am familiar with companies like this in Manhattan from the Upper East Side. And mm-hmm. and they were extremely expensive, extremely mm-hmm. expensive. And they weren't all sustainable packaged either. So I really support what you guys are doing. And of all the things that you do, John, you guys are doing outreach. You create new meals, as we just discussed, you know, every week or whenever. You, on the telephone, you and I talked, or I think you texted, you were working on catering, you do catering. And so this is all to name a few. What brings you, Chef John, the most joy from the different hats that you wear with Honest Plate?
Oh, creating delicious food that I know people are going to eat and enjoy and that is healthy for them. I go to the market every Saturday and I source out organic produce, organic meats, fishes. I try and get as many line caught fish as I can. So that's really brings me the joy in doing this. It's just, it's a lifelong passion that I have. And what's really, really cool for me is I try and create at least one or two new dishes every week. In the beginning, I was creating new dishes every single week across the whole menu. And I was just like, wow, this is just overwhelming sometimes, but I loved it at the same time. You know, I mean, I try to overcomplicate things and then I step back and go, maybe we should like tone it down a bit. But that's definitely what drives me is the overall passion of creativity.
I love that, John. How was, or has the recent pandemic changed your personal life?
Oh, it changed it to a really, really large degree in the essence that the restaurant business took a giant dump upon itself. So it made my career path change overnight, literally. Well, the job that you would go to every day and work 40-50 hours a week at was no longer available.
And so then, how did you?
Well, I put 110% of my focus upon building Honest Plate and getting it to the point that now and actually to the point where it's going. There is no other option except to just keep moving forward with what we're doing. For me to leave this call today and go look for a restaurant job would be just ridiculous to even pursue at this point because of what's going on in the industry, within the industry itself. Several of my friends are restaurant owners and chefs, and they were just struggling more so than they ever experienced in their entire career. And it wasn't a 6-month struggle like it usually is in the Hamptons. It was a year-round thing to the point where some of them considered closing and actually did close for an extended period of time and have now reopened. You had to reinvent yourself. And even within the business that Nick and Ashley and I have, we reinvent ourselves all the time. I have a saying that is you either adapt or you die. And the restaurant business within itself is at that pivotal point right now where thank goodness it's this pandemic is subsiding and they're going to come back, but that climb back is going to take longer than a year or longer than one summer to get back on track with expenses and everything else. And a lot of my friends are actually considering just getting out of the business altogether, but they don't know what they want to do because they've been doing it so long. So I think I've made the right decision career-wise. Actually, I know I have, and I'm very, very happy and very satisfied with what we're doing and the fact that we are providing healthy meals and healthy alternatives to the fact that we are donating certain meals to certain organizations right now and all the things we have going on. It's definitely a step in the positive and right direction path.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. I completely resonate with that. You answered a question that I was going to ask you. I was waiting for you to finish, and you kind of said exactly what I wish you would have said. So thank you.
You said
you had the need to reinvent, right?
Yeah.
Reinvent what you were doing as a chef and as a life coach, which also encompasses business, because business is part of many people's lives, right? I saw a lot, especially mainstream media, all of the, you know, all the negative feedback about how, and all the, oh, so sad, and we're losing our businesses, and we're losing this, and we're losing that. And I get it. But what I would put to you is that we really look at something as an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this sounds so cliche, one door closes, the other one opens. I'm actually, you know, I go the gamut of into spiritual coaching where I say there is no door.
Mm-hmm.
What if you can view life through a different lens and see that there mm-hmm. is no door. It's just one continuous, you know, opening door after door after door after door. Mm-hmm. So that being said, this pandemic really gives us the potential to really reinvent, pivot, and maybe do that one thing that you were really, you came here to do.
Right? Yeah, 100%.
And, mm-hmm, and you know, and so in that creating this like honest plate and really launching that, you guys were really aligned. As Ashley said earlier, he mentioned that it really happened so quick within like a 10 minute discussion. And I could really resonate with that, because this is really how magic happens. This is how we unlock mm-hmm. all of this dormant potential that I typically coach people spiritually. And I kind of parallel that, if you will, with what's going on in their external world, in their business, mm-hmm. in their relationship, right? So you guys really, really unlocked that together, mm-hmm. which is amazing. And thank you. I appreciate that. I kind of would like to bring in Chef Nick, who has been so patiently waiting. and I'd like to bring him into the conversation. Welcome, Chef Nick Rossini. Did I pronounce that correctly?
You get extra points for actually pronouncing it correctly.
Amazing, amazing. So Chef Nick, he graduated from the French Culinary Institute at the age of 20 and was tapped by Mauricio Marfoglia to help him open a Tutto il Giorno. And that's in Sag Harbor. So all of my listeners, Sag Harbor is my favorite town, at the risk of hurting anyone's feelings, but it's my favorite town on Long Island. If not, maybe like, I'm going to really put a stretch out there, because I did travel 59 cities in 12 months. It's one of my favorite towns ever.
I agree.
In the U.S. But truth be told, I have to say, Ashley, being a Brit, nothing goes above or beyond the Lake District for me. I'm a huge fan, and I've spent a lot of time in the Lake District, in the wilderness and the streams, in little bed and breakfasts, and love it. My favorite thing, my favorite place in the world. But so let me get back to Nick, because when he kind of opened or partnered in opening that restaurant in Sag Harbor, that's where he met Chef John, and correct me if I'm wrong, and Chef Nick was always a proponent of a healthy eating lifestyle. And that pretty much is how Nick decided to make health and wellness his focus. So welcome, Chef Nick.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. So we heard
Great
from
to be
everyone.
Here.
Thank you. I love that. I love that you began your journey as a chef at such a young age. And I love that you have a passion for healthy eating. I asked Chef John this, but were you always into healthy eating also, or did something happen in your life that maybe triggered or pivoted you into a healthy lifestyle?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely not always into the healthy eating. I grew up here in the U.S. as, you know, children here get Kool-Aid and Hi-C and fruit roll-ups and all that good stuff that we love so much that you find out later in life does nothing for you at all. But I did always have a fantastic positive influence from my mother and my father, because my mother and my father loved to eat since I was a kid. So I've been eating everything under the sun since I was very, very young. My dad used to take me to business meetings with him to test out prospective clients and have me order weird things on the menu that he knew would freak them out.
Oh, what kind of business did he have?
Well, my father he's still in the telecommunications business, but he always, we're food people, my whole family. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a very kind of eclectic background. My mother is Ecuadorian. My father is Greek and Hungarian.
I love it.
I was born in Switzerland. He was born in Britain. So we have we eat anything and everything under the sun, and we love it all.
I love it.
So,
I mean, could you be in the food industry without loving food?
I agree. Definitely not. Not in the kind of way that we are. I've definitely, unfortunately, met some people that it's just a job for them, but you know.
But not for you. Not for you.
Definitely not. It's a life's passion. Mm-hmm. Same thing like what you were talking about before. I have a home garden as well that I love to tend to. I love to pick from. There's nothing like getting fresh vegetables with some of the sun still left in there and eating them right away.
Absolutely. 100%. People don't even realize that. Sometimes when
you pick right off the vine. Yeah.
Yeah. It actually loses. Like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had someone else on that talks about that, Rabbi Yossi, and he was talking about how it's only almost within minutes after you pick something fresh off the vine where all those vitamins are in there. Right. But when you go to a grocery store, that's been picked months before. It's from wherever it's coming from around the world. By the time you get to the grocery store and you get it, you know, it's no wonder why, like, you put it in a bowl, it's out, and all of a sudden it's just bad, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, not to mention the price point. It's not like it's cheap, right? And so you want it to be tasty.
And the whole organic thing, too. Mm-hmm. That's kind of, for me, it's what makes what we're doing so important, because here it's so easy and so cost effective to eat unhealthily and to eat organic and to eat well and to do the things and take the supplements you want to take. It's going to cost you an arm and a leg. Mm-hmm. And with what we're doing, I feel like it makes it approachable for anybody to eat healthy and not worry about what's in there. If I have this nutrient or that, or that's our job. We take care of all that for you. You just order something that looks like it's going to taste good. You get it to your house, you eat it, and you know you're eating good whole vegetables, fresh meats, line-caught fish, organic produce, and you didn't have to go through the whole craziness. We take that, especially, which is what's great about what we do. And since we're buying in bulk, that brings our costs down, and we can pass that savings along to the customer.
I love that. That's our job, he says. I love that, Nick. And what would you say are the essential ingredients that make up, let's say, a healthy and vital meal for children?
Healthy and vital meal for children. I would say lots of love is first and foremost the most important ingredient, because I always believe, since my mom always cooked for me, I was very lucky to have her cook every day for me. So I feel like food carries vibes, carries love, all that translates. I always told my cooks when I was in the restaurant, please, if you're mad, if you're not in a good mood, let's do something to get you in a better mood, because I don't want to be giving people bad vibes in their food. But for me, I feel like it's fun to take things that are familiar to kids and make them out of different things to kind of convince them little by little to eat healthier. Mm-hmm. Like, we had a perfect example a couple months ago. We did a kind of classic looking cheddar mac and cheese, but the sauce was made with butternut squash, almond milk, and a little bit of cheddar. So the butternut squash gave it the color that the kids are familiar with. It gave it that nice, smooth, creamy texture. You got the cheese in there to give you your cheese, but the rest is healthy. We were using gluten-free pasta. We did the same kind of thing with the cauliflower Alfredo with nutritional yeast to give it a little bit more of that cheese flavor. So I think it's all about, when it comes to getting kids convinced, is if you can make something that adults are going to love. I'll give you another perfect example. We make these gluten-free chicken nuggets, and I do a lot of private events as well, and I've been bringing them to private events to give to people's kids, and the adults always end up eating more of them. And they ask me, where can I get these chicken nuggets?
So. I love that. I have to respond now. I have to go back in my mind to three things that you said that I want to touch upon. So let me rewind for all the listeners. I want to rewind first to the energy. So I'm in my little nook right now, but if we were in another area of my room, you would see a huge selenite, like crystal, and crystal on my fingers.
I saw the crystal ring.
I'm a spiritual coach, wellness coach, career coach. It all is the same thing, you guys, right? So energy is energy. And there is, you know, and positive and negative energy. Really, it's the scientific definition, right, of energy. You have to have the positive and the negative that make up that energy, like a battery. But how we really use the positive force for the betterment of someone else's higher self is really everything to do with the energy that you're putting into when you're preparing a meal for a child, a meal for an adult, a meal for anyone. Mm-hmm. Because your energy is within that. Not to mention,
exactly,
how about the energy of the animals that, yep, you know, that what did they go through in order to be on that plate serving you?
Exactly. And now, the energy of the farmer and how much love and care.
Right. Even, yep, if you're a vegan, you don't, yep, know. So for me, I've always made a practice of, because I actually do energy healing, but
cool,
I've made a practice of always clearing my food, always clearing. When I bought that crystal, I clear the crystal. I don't know how it got here, what it went through with the, you know, comes from South America. So energy is the understanding and the awareness of the power that it has on others is huge.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say that about that.
No, definitely.
Because I really, really align with that. And I absolutely love that you really take the initiative as, you know, one of the chefs in kitchen, if someone else, you kind of sense this energy that is not, you know, not vibrating at the right frequency, you know what? Go out, take a walk, come back in, because we don't want to put that energy onto our food for others, right? That's
exactly
kind of what I heard you say. I love that.
Definitely.
The other thing, is it convincing the child, or is it that, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm just going to put it out there. You're preparing a meal for a child. Do you, for that moment, become a child?
I definitely think of what I would like.
Or
what I would have loved.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I do that for my now young adult child, 23. I do that for my life partner, my boyfriend. I prepare with the heart of that person. What would that person love, right?
Of course.
Because growing up, food in many of our cultures, I would say around the globe, food is an integral part of our culture as far as just communication of what word am I looking for? Warmth and,
yep,
comfort. And comfort food does not have to mean mashed potatoes with gravy. It really does.
No, it's just something that makes you happy.
You know, that's a whole nother topic.
I've had experiences in life like that. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And that's a whole nother topic, because we talked about reinventing, John and I, and so we're also reinventing for others, and correct me if I'm wrong, as far as their perspective on what a comfort food in a healthy environment actually looks like. What does it taste like? What does it feel like? What does it smell like?
No, definitely. And you're touching on something where I was going to kind of go next, is my, one of my other favorite parts of this whole thing is the educational part of it, is being able to learn these new things myself and then impart that knowledge onto other people.
Mm-hmm.
There's such an approach in, I wouldn't even know if it's just here, but just in modern society, where it seems to be people make this, they build up the healthy food as such a difficult and complicated thing.
It's not complicated.
Exactly. But that's why it's put out there that the bad stuff is the easy stuff. It's the easy stuff. It's the quick stuff. Throw it in the microwave for a couple minutes, do this, whatever. It's already done. And we're taking that philosophy and making it healthy. So you can take all that ease and work it in there and have that healthy food that you want to have, that whole food, those whole vegetables, those pasture-raised meats and all that stuff. And it's there easily, readily available for you. So now there's actually no excuse.
There's no excuse.
I'm going to jump in. I am muted.
Go right ahead.
I know we'd be one-on-one, but I think, look, it's back to basics. And Nick said it so well, and John, is that, you know, processed food and industry has taken over people's eating, right? And marketing. And yeah, price point has something to do with it. It is easy to make manufactured food cheaper because you can do it by robots and factories and things like that, right? So food, real food that comes out of the ground or off a tree, is more expensive. And then organic real food is more expensive again. But if you think about the damage you're doing to your body and the expense that you're driving to your family, whether it's healthcare costs, which are insane, you know, in the US, you're spending thousands of dollars a month, or your company is on your behalf, but still somebody's paying that money. to make up for the stuff you're putting into your body that's turning into whatever health issues you're having or stress issues you're having. And so it's part of self-care. Self-care, if you think of a budget for self-care of $500 a month or $200 a month or whatever it is, if you take that budget and put it into your food, it's self-care. And you know, don't worry about going to the spa or doing yoga. I mean, those things are great too, of course. It's all a balance, but think
food is where you start.
Eating healthily as self-care and allocate budget to it accordingly. We will never compete with a $1.99 burger, you know, whatever. We cannot create a meal for $1.99. It's impossible. A good, healthy, clean, delicious meal. We can do it for $8, which we think is, you know, is great. And, you know, probably the same price as a frappe latte with caramel extra topped, blah, blah, blah from, you know, wherever, right, is probably $8. So we're giving you a nutritious food that will give you energy, sustained energy for, you know, hours, not minutes, no sugar rush, high, low craziness that you're getting from that, you know, caffeine crazed, you know, cappuccino, frappuccino. So I think it's about priorities and it's about people understanding what those priorities are. But it is also hard because it's micro decisions that all build up over time. We're so used to, as generationally now, to impulse everything and instant everything. I do something, I want to feel the results. I eat a McFlurry, blah, blah, blah. I feel it in my body in seconds, right? That sugar and just whether it's energy or, you know, it just happens, the caffeine, the kick. Eating healthy food takes a while for the benefit. And that's why Whole 30, and I'm just going to loop back, to Whole 30 is 30 days. It's 30 days specifically because you go through 2 weeks of headaches and stress and pain as that sugar is being sucked out of your body. And you're like, why am I doing this? There is no instant result. It is a painful experience. And then as you morph into week 3 and 4, and obviously Wild Fit and what you talked about has a similar philosophy. As you morph into that, your taste buds, it takes 30 days for taste buds to change. I never used to like kale. Kale, I was like, kale? What am I eating? Kale? What is this stuff? Whole 30 taught my body to love kale. And I still enjoy it now all year, even when I'm not doing Whole 30, because my taste buds have changed. It's appreciated that texture and that flavor and that same anticipation that the body, the mental brain, thinking about what food is going to deliver to you. That's how it works. You think about ice cream and your body like goes, oh my God, that taste and da da da, and it reacts chemically without even eating it. The body takes a while for that same thing to happen with fruits and vegetables and things from the earth. And so that's, you know, so I didn't mean to kind of, wrap it in a way to kind of bring it whole, you know, back to kind absolutely. Of the roots, as it
let
were.
That passion so, out, Ashley.
Yeah, no, I love couldn't it. Agree more. I'm glad that you kind of underscored that. It actually, as we mentioned earlier, it's really taking action and really accepting the responsibility to make that choice of love is making a choice to serve your higher self, is making a choice to feed your body food, which comes from a loving source, to breathe in fresh air, to drink proper water. And all of that really, it does come full circle to a matter of choice, as Ashley mentioned. But also the reality is people think that, I think in the fast food world, let's say, and I'm not disparaging anyone's industry, but I kind of am in a way where you're saving money to go into, you know, I know people that they know exactly for $5 American US dollars what they can get in whatever fast food establishment, right? Be off and on their way. But to Ashley's point, the effects that it has on your body, your mentality, and then you have those high and low slumps and the sugar rushes and so on and so forth. What are you really saving? Because
you're going to end up spending more on medical bills.
Exactly. Exactly. So now you're spending all your money on, right, within the medical profession. And then who's making out is the pharmaceuticals in the world, not just in America. This is so important to me to talk about what you all do. And even the concept of Honest Plate, because it does start, your healthcare starts with your food. Your healthcare starts with your spiritual health. Your healthcare starts with self-love, right?
And that's why we're Honest Plate, honest food from an honest source.
Yeah, I love that. I love the way you branded it as well. Did you and Chef John create your dishes solely on or based on the Whole 30 nutrition program, or what does that look like?
Definitely. We do our best to stick to that mostly as it is the core of our program. But as we went through this past year and we've had more strict vegetarians and vegans have interest in things like that, we decided to put as our sides and some other items, some more of those legumes and things back in there so they could have that other source of protein that they're looking for, because mm-hmm. they're not going to get that from the meat-based proteins. Mm-hmm. But basically, I mean, we stick to that philosophy the whole way through.
Okay, so let's say someone like myself, who Eric Edmeads and I definitely align with this, is and also Dr. Stephanie Rimka, we've had discussion as well. She's a dear friend and doctor in Atlanta. So someone like myself, I've been a vegan in the past and then I've stopped, and I am not a vegan. I haven't been a vegan for many, many years. I fully believe by experience and life experience with health and others is that those essential amino acids is what really is the only thing that builds your skeletal muscle. Mm-hmm. And skeletal muscle is vital. And you can only get amino acids from animal. Yes. So for someone like me, and I'm not, by the way, I'm not vegan bashing. If that's someone's thing, kumbaya.
I agree with you 100% on that.
Okay.
It's a very hard thing to do, be vegan.
Right.
You really have to work to get your nutrients.
Yeah. So, and then statistically, the people that live the longest, healthiest lives are people that eat from animals. Okay. So mm-hmm. the statistics are out there. Guys, don't start giving me comments. I'm just telling you the statistics, right? So my point is...
Don't worry, I'll back you up.
So how would a person like me come to you, and I love vegetables. There isn't a vegetable I do not like, just one root that I don't like, and that's turnip. There, I said it, I admit it. But everything else under the sun, I will eat. So my point is, so I come to you and I select my meals or whatever. And then do you mm-hmm. also add the animal protein or the fish, or do I do that at home onto the meals that I get from Honest Plate?
You would do that. So all of our proteins, animal proteins, fish, all that good stuff is served on the side. So you're going to get your core meal, and then you would get that other protein on the side. So if you're a vegetarian, you don't have to have it. If you want it, it's there for you to mix and match, whether you want to mix it in with a side, with one of our salads, with a soup, whatever. It makes it very easy to kind of, like what Ashley was saying in the beginning, you have all those beautiful containers in your fridge. Mm-hmm. You say, hey, in the morning, I'm going to pick this, I'm going to pick that. This is going to be a great day.
I love that. I know that Ashley has to leave in a few minutes, this conversation, but I wanted to keep you guys on a couple of minutes more. Chef Nick, what is the thought process behind the dishes as you make them? As far as creating ones every week, you know?
Yep. As we make them, to be honest, I leave most of the dish creation to John, because he's got that extensive background in the vegan aspect and vegetarian aspect. There's a lot of things I've taken over in the past couple of months of doing our pastries, which we have a couple pastries in our repertoire. So I try to keep one of our pastries Whole30 centered and another one, you know, not super bad, but a little bit bad.
Mm-hmm. We call those dishonest desserts. Just
exactly.
A bit of fun. Look, everybody needs we all need a little bit of boost here and there. We don't want to take ourselves too seriously as a brand. And, we've got to have fun with it. So yeah, we have dishonest desserts, and
Luke
does a great job with those.
I love it.
But as long as dish creation goes, we try to stick seasonal, Whole30, whatever's freshest at the market. And we also kind of, we see what people like, and we go in that general realm of thinking.
Yeah.
Because of course there's certain dishes that you're going to make that people are going to be like, they're just not going to feel it. And that's a chef's job to say, you know, you might really love that dish, but not everybody liked it. Maybe I did. Let's move on to cauliflower steak with chimichurri sauce, which is always going to go over well.
Understood.
No turnip.
Thank you.
I've got to run. I apologize.
Thank you, Ashley, for having the time or taking the time to come on with us.
Of course. And, it was lovely meeting you and your audience, and we're glad to share our message. And just as a reminder, Honest Plate is available in the Hamptons, Long Island, and also Connecticut. We're looking to grow to new markets, take our formula, and find local chefs in different areas to help them go on the journey that Chef Nick and John are on now, and release them from the restaurant stress and, you know, work regular hours and have a great life, you know, with their family and so forth. So
yeah,
you know, obviously
great.
Reach out to Lily if any of your visitors or viewers are connected to that world and are interested in learning more, and you can get our information from her. So thanks for listening, everybody. And
thank you,
see you at Honest Plate. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
So Chef John, I have to say, Ashley just kind of touched upon what I was going to ask you. So what's next for Honest Plate?
What's next for Honest Plate? Well, that's a very good question. Actually, Nick and I are looking forward to having two kitchens eventually. The one that we're in now to service the upper part of the island, Connecticut, Westchester area, and part of the northern part of the Hamptons, i.e., Watermill, Southampton, Bridgehampton, and then a secondary kitchen to service the rest of the Hamptons, which would be Bridgehampton all the way out to Montauk. Mm-hmm. That's one part of our plan. Then, of course, we are also looking to get franchises going, things of that nature, and basically to just keep evolving as we go along. Definitely to keep the same type of integrity within our food. Without a doubt, and to make sure that that things are, for lack of a better term, controlled as far as recipes go, as far as the taste go, and what have you. Right now, it's solely Nick and I, and we have someone else in the kitchen that helps us, but it's going to grow rather quickly and exponentially within, I'm predicting, the next year or less, to the point where we're going to have other people in the kitchen. And we're going to be training them to do what we're doing so we can step away from it more and be more centered in taking care of the back office duties and things of that nature.
Right.
But as far as where we're going in the future, we just want to keep moving forward and expanding. And we want to first become nationwide, of course, and then global-wide.
It's funny you say that, John, because Eric Edmeads and I had this conversation, and when people say, I want to be a coach, I want to be a life coach, I want to be a wellness coach, I want to be global. And it's like, there's so much work to do right here. Let's mm-hmm. start here, right?
Yeah.
And then we can evolve little by little by little. And that's really something really important to learn or to be aware of. And speaking of learning, Chef Nick, you were saying earlier about that you love to teach. Do you see any kind of, any kind of schooling for this type of cooking as a vision for you?
Definitely. We already offer cooking classes as well. For me, I love to go to events. I love to talk to people about it. I love to, if I'm at somebody's house doing a private event, people end up hanging out in the kitchen and I tell them what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, what I've been learning lately. It's a passion project for both of us. Mm-hmm. So the more I learn, the more I want to teach. Mm-hmm. And it just gets me excited to see people, because for me myself, I've been on a health journey for a while myself as well. And I just feel so much incredibly better. And I mean, I'm sure as you've seen through your life, you know, anybody sees that kind of change in somebody, they wonder, what are you doing? What are you taking? Where have you been going? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, hey, I'm working out, I'm eating good food and not putting any crap in my body. And they're kind of amazed. Like, what weight loss pill are you taking? I'm not taking anything. I'm just living the way you're supposed to live.
I love that. You know, you guys, although this is a global platform and I have a global following, I have a lot of followers also in the US. For those that are listening that are local, can you share with our local listeners how they can learn more about Honest Plate? Would they go to your website?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Go to our website, check us out. Good thing for everybody right now is my mom is running our customer service. So she's like, you know, very excited to talk about anything that we're doing. And she can put anybody in contact with either of us if there's any further questions or concerns or any of that good stuff.
Great. Okay, I will. But, you know, there is a question that I was going to ask. I want to go back to that for one moment, if we can, because I think that there's, especially now with the recent pandemic and the coronavirus, and now the vaccinations are all over. Tell me about the vitamin drinks. What inspired adding this to your menus? Was it the global pandemic? Was it, what was it? What was that all about?
I think it was definitely a couple of those things. We do our best to support as many local entrepreneurs as possible as well, since we're kind of in the same game. So when we saw those drinks out there, we're like, this is a perfect fit for our company. We were already making an immune shot. We make smoothies. It's kind of just like a perfect little marriage for us to be able to give somebody local that's making a great product a little bit of a boost, if we can give them a boost.
I love that. And you know, there's a lot of shifts and pivots that people have taken that I know personally, that I've taken personally because of the pandemic. I was never a religious vitamin taker, but I've been on quite a few retreats and weekend retreats with a specific doctor that he's a DNA specialist, and he has a whole line of, you know, and he's super cool. And he does like energy. He sends different like megahertz through like whale calls, and he's just super. He's amazing. Anyway,
sounds like my kind of guy.
Oh my goodness. The reason why I bring it up is during the height of the pandemic, I said, okay, what, I eat so healthy. I'm boring. I cheat when my boyfriend says, let's go get a cappuccino. And we always wind up going to Cafe Italia, and I always get something sweet. That's my cheat. But I don't do it every day.
I had chocolate ice cream yesterday.
There you go. You know, like.
And it was good.
You know, it's fine. And do you know why it's fine once in a while? Because you start your day every day, because typically in your day, it's really the bulk of it is all healthy. So if you have a little bit of that, right? Not such a big deal.
But, exactly.
Yeah. So this doctor, Dr. O, he's got a very long Russian last name. He suggested a regimen of vitamins that, now this is going back in the top of 2020, around the time when you launched Honest Plate.
Okay.
A regimen of vitamins that if you took these vitamins religiously every day, the specific milligrams and micrograms and that he says, you will either, one of two things will happen. You will either never catch the coronavirus, or if you did contract it, you would have very little, if any, symptoms at all. So because I have utmost respect for him and his knowledge, I bought all the vitamins, right, on Amazon, and I got all these vitamins. And so I get all these vitamins. I have religiously taken these vitamins, like, every day for the past, I want to say, about 9 months. And to be honest, the vaccinations weren't out, and people need people. What am I going to do? Sit in my home by myself all the time. My son's 23, and one of his friends came home from the army, from Afghanistan. And like, so I'm going to have people over that maybe were around someone, who knows? But the point is, and I love to cook. So I'm always cooking for everyone. Come on, come over. We'll cook. I'll make dinner. Great. And I never, ever so much had gotten not even a sniffle.
Nope.
Not a sniffle. Because don't forget now, I'm eating off my land with very, very limited food that I'm having to buy. And you talked about seasonal, Nick, which is really important. Look, you have to eat seasonally. This is the way the human body is made up in the summer.
Exactly.
You know, right?
That's why people are getting sick now. It's because we're eating things all year round that we shouldn't be eating.
That you shouldn't be. So that's why seasonal, that's why God put certain vegetables in at certain times. And this is the way bears even know this, right? They have the berries and they eat. So they're full for the winter, right? When they can hibernate. The humans the same way. Seasonal is really key. So when you're eating healthy with seasonal food and you're taking proper supplements to not in place of food, but maybe to kind of bring your health to the next level in case you are.
Yeah, of course, just giving yourself an extra nutritional boost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love that other component that you guys offer in Honest Plate. I feel that, and I said it, I mentioned this earlier, I feel that, look, we're a lot, society is getting a lot smarter and they're more health driven. So it couldn't be a better time for you guys to come along with this, you know, with this concept locally on Long Island and expand Connecticut.
With that.
So I want to thank you guys for coming on. And
thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Of course. To all the listeners, if you want to learn more about Honest Plate and all of the things that they have to offer, head on over to their website, honestplate.com. And if you liked this podcast, please give it 5 stars, share, and subscribe to Beyond the Current Situation. Thank you, gentlemen.